Right. So for about 12 years now, I have been combining art and science. First, I started using graphic art, Photoshop work, photography, design, to create artwork that would be visually appealing, but at the same time that would communicate some science. So I started experimenting with those disciplines, but then moved into filmmaking and found myself using more and more photography to communicate science. I'm an astronomy professor for Benedictine University, and I found myself explaining science through my photography. So all these things converged, and I sat down with some friends, and we decided to start this nonprofit organization whose mission is the communication of science through art. So the idea is to use art as a hook or as a vehicle to communicate science. More than teaching in a formal setting, just expose people to science and inspire them to learn more about what they see. And one of probably the most successful project has been the combination of films, of astronomy films or science films set to music, either to classical music or to recently composed music specifically for these films.
But you also, not only are you trying to bring people into the world of science through this angle of art and music, but you see some very strong connections between the two, the fact that there's this spark of innovation and discovery that can be found in both worlds.
That's right. You need to be creative to both create artwork and to make discoveries, right? If you're not creative, if you're not ingenious, you will not create or make an important discovery, right? And if you look at, the successful scientists are just very, very ingenious. They're very creative in their way of finding out how things work. And then voila, they make a discovery. But very often it's because they're being very creative at what they do. And it's interesting that in the scientific community, there are so many musicians as well. Many scientists they just love the arts. They play instruments or they sing. So it's kind of sad that in a way, things have gone, each field has gone its own separate way. When during the Renaissance, you had people like Leonardo da Vinci, who was an artist and a scientist and an engineer, an inventor. So we used to be more, less of one-track minded people, right? So that's why when I talk to children and young students, even at college level, one thing that I try to communicate is that you don't have to choose one thing, right? If you're passionate about many things in your life, you should find ways of combining them. And I have been very, very lucky that in my field, I get to combine everything that I'm passionate about: astronomy, science in general, education, music, art, photography. So it's not that I want to give false expectations that everybody's going to be that lucky, but at the very least, you should not let go of those things that you were passionate about when you were young. And that's something we see students either very involved in music or in drawing, and at some point they start concentrating in what they want to become, and they just drop all these things that they were passionate about. So that's something I like to promote, that people don't abandon these things that they were passionate about, and if they can find ways of combining them, and of course there are many ways, then that's even better.
Well, and especially in astronomy, in your field, there's a very strong visual element, obviously.
Exactly.
With the amazing images that we see now coming to us from space through the various telescopes. So that's something that you weave into your projects.
Exactly. And astronomy is so visual. And you're absolutely right. To begin with, many of these images is like nature itself has been, you know, painting these beautiful masterpieces for us, right? But then there's also another element of artwork, if you will. When you process these images, of course, you try to get all the scientific information that you can get out of them, but there's also ways of making them visually appealing to the eye, and of course, you know, so the public can be involved without sacrificing any of the information. But there's, you know, image processing, if you think about it, can also be some kind of art making. So definitely, I mean, astronomy is just a perfect example because it is extremely, extremely visual. And then I'm glad that you brought up images, because then the other aspect is, like, let's say, you know, photography. So a camera can be a scientific instrument, right? We have all these cameras and, you know, sensors and, you know, telescopes and aboard spacecraft and so on. But it's also an instrument to create artwork, used to create artwork. So I see photography right there at the intersection of science and art. And that's something that I'm actually developing as part of, you know, KB265, to create workshops where students would use photography, right, really hands-on, in a hands-on kind of way, learn photography and then learn about the science behind the photography. For example, if you take infrared photography, photographs, you can learn about, you know, the difference between reflection and emission and all these physical processes, but then you can create something that is just absolutely beautiful and very, very engaging. So that's one of the ideas that we're developing.
Well, the project, one of the initial projects in your Science and Symphony series through KV-265 is The Planets by Gustav Holst, which will be performed by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. That seems like a very obvious place to start with this kind of a project. So how you're talking about these different images and how they're manipulated and in a very artistic way. So how is this film structured around the music as it's played live?
Okay, so Holst composed seven movements for seven planets. Pluto had not been discovered nor demoted. Earth, he didn't include Earth because he was more interested in the mythology, right, of the characters themselves being, you know, represented. So each movement, which is very independent of each other, right? It's an orchestral suite. Each movement has its own character. So in the same way, what we have is a suite of seven short films. So each movement, it's about the planet in question. And what I did was to research the best materials available then of the planet. So we're talking about images taken by telescopes on Earth as well as by spacecraft that have visited these planets, works on paper, you know, historical documents from the collection of History of Astronomy of the Adler Planetarium, as well as some animations made by NASA, the European Space Agency, and by myself to fit, you know, the music perfectly. So once I collected all these visual materials, then the idea was to listen to the music very, very closely and pay attention to the tone and the tempo of the music to create a film that would follow the music so closely that you would know right away that it was not just a mere slideshow of, you know, image after image, but no, the images are changing and are, you know, transitioning from one to another in a way that it's obvious they're following the music, because what I wanted to do was to augment the music. I know that when we add another element, you know, the music will suffer a little, right? And we might get distracted by what's on screen. So the way to compensate for that and to minimize that as much as possible was to create a film that would augment the music. And then you would know, you would be there enjoying the film and the music, and your brain would know that, wow, these two things go hand in hand. And that's something that conductors appreciate very, very much. They notice, they actually treat me as another musician in the orchestra. It's just that I'm playing the visuals instead of a musical instrument.
So are you there on stage or behind stage? I'm with the orchestra manipulating, moving, changing the images?
I'm either behind the stage or by the projector. But the way it works, it's a little bit more challenging for the conductor, because what I do is I send two video streams. One that goes to the big screen so people can enjoy the film. And another one goes to a monitor that it's in front of the conductor with a time code. So it's basically like when you're recording a soundtrack for a film. So what he's doing is he's following the film by correlating the time code on the film to time codes that he has written on his score. So that way he knows where he has to be during the movement.
Well, what has been the audience reaction to this work? How many times now have you presented this imagery along with the music?
Well, I would say that the planets may be around maybe almost 50 times overall, because I have by now I have four films that have been presented with symphony orchestras. So overall, it's been more than 75 performances since 2006, reaching around 140,000 people. But of course, of them all, Planets is the most popular.
And what have audiences told you?
They just come out so inspired by what they've seen, because many people haven't seen the images, and of course it's a combination of maybe you have seen them but you haven't seen them in that context. So they just come out inspired to learn, and they tell me, wow, I didn't know that such thing existed. I didn't know that Jupiter had so many moons or whatever. So the idea is that. The idea is to show them something that they had not seen before in a different context, in a way that it's not intimidating. And hopefully that will then lead them to the next step, which would be, okay, you were inspired by the film. Maybe you came to the pre-concert lecture or a post-concert Q&A session. And you ask questions and so of that, because we always develop educational events around the concert, like visiting schools and so on. But the idea is that after the concert, hopefully people will be inspired to then grab a book or watch a documentary on TV, or hey, come to the Adler Planetarium or their local science museum and learn more about it. So the idea is to plant that seed of curiosity. And so people come out just like excited about what they've seen. And in particularly in the case of the planets, it's like a very nice synthesis of what we have achieved as space explorers, or at least as solar system explorers. So to know that there's no science fiction, in the film, that all these things, are real, and that's the things we have achieved as scientists and explorers, I think it's just very, very exciting.